Good to see everyone this morning. If you're visiting with us, we consider you an honor to have you here with us. We hope that you'll come back and be with us whenever you possibly can. I also want to thank the opportunity to be able to talk to you, do a little bit of preaching from God's Word, and to be able to see familiar faces. Very quickly, I want to get into my lesson. The title of my lesson is Little Things Do Make a Difference. This lesson is designed to discuss little things in the Bible that have made and makes a difference. I'm going to begin with a little coat. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 19, I hope you have your Bibles with you because you're going to hear a lot of it this morning. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 19, the Scripture gives the account of a woman by the name of Hannah who made her son a little coat. Why did she make this coat for her son? And her son's name was Samuel. It was because in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 11, she had made a request to the Lord because she was barren. And she had a rival, and that's what they, you know, when you have polygamy, they call them the rival. If you have two or more wives. And her rival was just giving her down the road because she couldn't bring forth children. And this was a big thing. And God answered her prayers and gave her a little son. And she named him Samuel. And because of time, I'm not going to go ahead and read the story. But during her prayer to God, she made a promise that she would give this child back to the Lord all the days of his life. And she fulfilled that promise. But every year, she brought a little coat or a little robe to give him. And I'm sure as he grew, she would make it a little bit bigger. Don't you know that that really made an impression in this little boy? And a question that we might think about is, how do you think the coat made a difference in Samuel's service to God? If you knew that you had a mother and a father that loved you so much, and they would give you to God, and she would even make you a coat because she didn't want you to think that she had forgotten you, that can bring a tear to the eye and make you consider what good things that your parents had done for you. Next point, a little honey. This is a story about Saul's son, Jonathan. In 1 Samuel chapter 14, verses 24 through 29. 1 Samuel 14, 24 through 29. It's nice to hear the pages turning, but you know, some of us have electronic Bibles, and I'm not using one right now, so eventually we won't hear that unless they put that on those iPads and phones. The Scripture begins, and the men of Israel were distressed that day, for Saul had adjured the people, saying, "Cursed be the man that tastes any food until it be evening, and I avenged on my enemies, and I be avenged on my enemies." So none of the people tasted food, and all the people came into the forest, and there was honey upon the ground. And when the people were come unto the forest, behold, the honey dropped, but no man put his hand to his mouth. That means none of them ate it, for the people feared the oath. But Jonathan heard not when his father charged the people with the oath. Therefore he put forth the end of the rod that was in his hand and dipped it in the honeycomb and put his hand to his mouth, and his eyes were enlightened. Then answered one of the people, saying, "Thy father straitly charged the people with an oath, saying, Cursed be the man that eateth food this day." And the people were faint. Then said Jonathan, "My father hath troubled the land. See, I pray you, how mine eyes have been enlightened, because I tasted a little of this honey. How much more, if happily the people had eaten freely today of the spoil of thy enemies, which they found? For now hath there been no great slaughter among the Philistines." And they smote the Philistines that day from Michmash to Ajalon, and the people were very faint. And the people flew upon the spoil and took sheep and oxen and calves and slew them on the ground, and the people did eat them with the blood. A little bit of honey created a ruckus. And it happened to be the king's son that started the ruckus. Paul had made a bad call by saying that the people shouldn't eat. If you're a fighting man, you've got to keep up your energy, and Jonathan knew that. Jonathan ate the honey. It gave him strength. The soldiers were so hungry that they actually disobeyed the command that had been given in Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 16. That being, only ye shall not eat the blood, thou shalt pour it out upon the earth as water. Saul wanted to get the Philistines so bad that he actually caused his people to sin. Just a little thing could have made a big difference. In 2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 1 through 6, it talks about a little ewe lamb. 2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 1 through 6. This is a story about David. And this is when Nathan came in to him to tell him what he had done. And Jehovah sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him and said unto him, there were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. And the rich man had exceedingly many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had brought and nourished up, and it grew up together with him and with his children, and it did eat of his own morsel and drank from his own cup, and lay in his bosom, and was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that had come unto him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man, and he said to Nathan, as Jehovah liveth, the man that hath done this is worthy to die, and he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity. The story of a little ewe lamb brought a king to his knees, because after that, Nathan said, you are the man. A little ewe lamb made a difference. A little water and a little cake. This is a story that deals with Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 17, starting in verse 10. This is after Elijah had been to the brook. He'd been hiding out, trying to keep away from Ahab and Jezebel. And the Lord had told him to go to the brook. The brook dried up. And then the Lord said this to Elijah. He said, so he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand. And she said, as Jehovah thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in the jar, and a little oil in the cruse. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat and die. And Elijah said to her, fear not, go and do it as thou hast said, but make me therefore a little cake first, and bring it forth unto me, and afterward make for thee and thy son. For thus saith Jehovah, the God of Israel, the jar of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that Jehovah sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days. The jar of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail according to the word of Jehovah, which he spake by Elijah. By faith, the widow gave what little she had, and God multiplied it. She didn't have much flour left. She didn't have any much oil left. Just enough for herself and her son in her house. And that was it. But by faith, she did what Elijah had told her. And it reminds me of a New Testament verse in Mark chapter 9, verse 41. For whoever shall give you a cup of water to drink, because ye are Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. You know, here was a lady that had a little bit of flour, a little bit of oil, and she used it for God. And this was Christ speaking in Mark. In Luke chapter 4, verses 24 and 25, but of a truth I say unto you, there were many widows in Israel in the day of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months. When there came a great famine over all the land, and unto none of them was Elijah sent, but only to Zarephath in the land of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. A little cake and a little water. Another little thing is, and you'll have to hear this, so I make sure that I say it right, little of this world's things. In Psalms chapter 37, verse 16. Psalms 37, verse 16. Better is a little that the righteous hath than the abundance of many wicked. Now, for those that are younger, it's somehow difficult for us to get this through our coconuts. But those of you that are older that maybe had been around the time of the Depression, there are still some that are around or familiar with it. They know what it was like not to have a lot. Why is it that it seems that the wicked in the world have more things generally than Christians do? As a general rule. Of course, there's no sin being wealthy. Even though some in the world would have you to believe that, you know, the rich are evil. Abraham wasn't evil. Isaac wasn't evil. Jacob wasn't evil. Solomon, he did the Lord's will. Job, there were many that had money. Well, to answer the question, usually the wicked, they don't care how they get their money. They'll get it by any means that they can. But this verse also helps to teach us that we need to learn to be satisfied. We're in a country now that doesn't know what it is to be satisfied. We're hungry for everything. And we push it in our advertising. Oh, you need this, you need that. You need something better. We've got to learn to be satisfied, folks. And I don't think that I'm up here telling you that you need to do it. it's right back at me. Luke chapter 3, verse 14. This was when the people were asking John the baptizer a question. In Luke 3:14. That the soldiers asked him a question, saying, "And we, what must we do?" And he said unto them, "Extort from no man by violence, neither accuse anyone wrongfully, and be content with your wages." Ooh. And he's not just talking to the soldiers, he's talking to all of us. We need to learn to be satisfied. It's a little thing. And to be righteous and not to have anything, that's not a gauge of whether you're good or bad. To have a little and to be righteous is what the song is actually trying to get the people to sing and understand it's okay not to have everything. And it's the world constantly, they keep pushing this. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. It's not, you take note of that. It's the love of money. Money is not the root of all evil, the love of money. Which some reaching after have been led astray from the faith and have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. It's talking about members of the church. So we all can fall prey to it. Despite what the world says, little can be better. A few small fish. In Matthew chapter 15, verses 34 through 38, we have the story of the feeding of the people, a great, great multitude. And Jesus said unto them, how many loaves have ye? And they said, seven, and a few small fish. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground. And he took the seven loaves and the fishes, and he gave thanks and brake, and gave it to the disciples, and the disciples to the multitudes. And they all ate and were filled. And they took up that which remained over of the broken pieces, seven baskets full. And they did eat, were 4,000, besides women and children. That's a lot of folks, people. That's a lot of people. Seven loaves and a few fish. Matthew chapter 16, verses 8 through 12, Jesus was talking. He was actually talking to his disciples after this had occurred. And Jesus perceived what they were saying, and he said, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because ye have no bread? Because you see, they thought that he was talking about the physical bread to eat. Do ye not yet perceive, neither remember the five loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets ye took up? Neither the seven loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets ye took up? How is it that ye did not perceive that I spake not to you concerning bread? But beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Then understood they that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Jesus had just used seven loaves and a few fish to feed thousands of people. And he wanted to try to get this into his disciples' heads, what was actually happening. And that being that he was the Son of God. And what little men have, he can multiply and use it for his good. He also said in Luke chapter 18, verse 27, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. And that we have to deal with this every day. We think, that it's not possible for many things to have happened in the Bible. There's got to be some natural explanation for it. Oh, ye of little faith. If you believe that there was a God that created the heavens and earth, this is a little thing. This is truly a little thing. Little children in Mark chapter 10, verses 13 through 16. This is one of the times that Jesus, he was annoyed at his disciples. In Mark chapter 10, verses 13 through 16, the Scripture says, and they were bringing to him little children that he should teach them, and the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, he was moved with indignation. And he said to them, suffer the little children to come to me. Forbid them not, for to such belongeth the kingdom of God. Verily I say to you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall in no wise enter therein. And he took them in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands upon them. The mind of a little child is the mind that God wants all men to have. mature men. You know, it's sad. Our little babies, they have the mind that God would have. They're pure. They're forgiving. 1 minute, you know, as they're going up, they're angry at their friend, and the next minute, they're big buddies, and they got their arms around them. That's the way God wants us to be. And He wants us to be like a little child. And He used the little child as an example. A little child's also trusting. And Jesus wants us to trust Him. In John chapter 14, verses 1 and 2, Jesus was saying, "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you." Jesus wants us to trust Him. We need to be like a little child. A little leaven. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 6 through 8, this chapter is the division where Paul is talking to the Corinthian brethren. There's been a man that has taken his father's wife. And Paul said, not even the heathens do this. But yet, well, let's just read what the Holy Spirit says. "Your glorying is no good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, even as ye are unleavened. For our Passover also hath been sacrificed, even Christ. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." Matthew 16:6, "And Jesus said unto them, Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." You know, with when you're baking bread, it doesn't, you know, the many cups of flour, let's say you're going to make 4 or 5 loaves of bread. And yeah, I have made it, so I can say something here. So I'm not totally ignorant. But you compare the number of cups of flour that you put in your bread mixture compared to the yeast that you put in. Now, yeah, granted, you're going to put some salt and you're going to put some sugar inside there because you need something for the yeast to be able to eat. That's what makes it rise. But compared to a couple of tablespoons of yeast, and it leavens all that bread. It causes it to rise. Well, you know, there are some things that is good in that respect as far as the yeast, but when it's evil, it doesn't take much to ruin the whole batch. A little leaven doesn't take much. A little is a little. The last point, the little tongue. James chapter 3, verses 5 through 8. "So the tongue also is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how much wood is kindled by how small a fire, and the tongue is a fire. The world of iniquity among our members is the tongue, which defiles the whole body and setteth on fire the wheel of nature, and is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and birds, of creeping things and things in the sea, is tamed, and hath been tamed by mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is a restless evil. It is full of deadly poison." The tongue is the portal of the body for our thoughts to be verbalized to the outside world. Sometimes it's better for us to keep our mouth shut and our tongue from wagging. And I'm sure all of us have been guilty of it. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 18, "A rash speaker is like piercings of a sword, and the tongue of the wise is healing." You can either help with the tongue or you can hurt. Little words spoken can heal or they can hurt. So let's be careful what we do. In conclusion, the words little and small can be very deceptive to the human mind. Little things add up to big things in God's eyes. Just a cup of cool water given will not go unnoticed by our Lord and Savior and our God. Matthew 10, verse 42 proves that. And whosoever shall give a drink to one of these little ones, a cup of cold water only, in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. It's a little thing, but it's not. A little leaven goes a long ways for good and for bad. Little things do make a difference. Little things do make a difference. Let's not allow Satan to deceive us into thinking that little things don't matter to God, because it does matter to God. Do what you can for the Lord right now, as God invites you, as we're about to stand and sing.